What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Forward 52 podcast. I'm your host, Chris Jones, and today we have another jam-packed show for you. We've got Steven Gergella in the house. We've got Phil Tripitowski in the house. And the subject is college, 2019. Should you go? Do you need to go? Does it matter? You know, we're going to chop it up about that today.
For those that don't know, Phil Tripitowski is the data and analytics manager at Fountain Forward. Phil, say hello.
Thank you for the wonderful introductions, everybody. Really appreciate it.
Tell us some stuff about you, Phil.
I am from Wisconsin, a small town, Stevens Point. I will be a junior in college this year, attending the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
And how many times have you questioned the value of college?
One would say a lot. I would say maybe one too many. A vast amount of times in this previous year, for sure.
How did this previous semester make you feel about college?
Slightly unmotivated towards college. This last semester was tough. A lot of the actual academics that the classes that I was in. Just seemed all the tests seem very unpractical.
So I specifically want to touch on that real quick, and I want to make it really simple. My goal with having Phil work with us for the last, are we going on, what, 3.5 years?
Yeah.
3.5 years. My goal was pretty simple. Hey, Phil, you tell me when you're working on stuff what makes you happy, and if you could just stay teachable and continue to ask me more questions about the things that are making you happy, problem solving, whatever you end up enjoying, I'll just keep feeding you and I'll tell you everything that I've gotten experience from, how I've gotten my teeth kicked in, all these different things. And all you have to do is keep working hard, be transparent about what you're liking, disliking, etc. That's what I call a business degree. I call it a master's in business, actually. It's an MBA, okay? And I understand that the pathway that I may have put Phil on is considered unstructured, maybe even all over the place, all these things, and you probably couldn't put a specific curriculum on it. Phil, don't talk it up. Be honest. Talk about the value of your college career so far versus what you've gotten in the same amount of time at Fountain Forward, and give some sort of value insight on that.
I think that is almost a difficult question to answer because there's just so many different angles and variables. But I would say that the knowledge that I have gained from Fountain Forward compared to the classes that I've taken so far at University of Wisconsin-Madison, Fountain Forward has definitely proved to be more valuable, more hands-on, more practical, because it is the, as one would say, quote-unquote, the real world.
How much did the Fountain Forward stuff cost you?
Zero. Actually, I am lucky enough to be paid to work.
So it's more valuable because you get paid, or is it more valuable because the information's better?
Yeah, but this goes back to, you know, our one of our previous podcasts when you talked about the way someone who's a college student or a graduate should carry themselves when they get their first job, and the fact that he's teachable and he doesn't come in acting like he knows everything. He's here to learn and soak up as much knowledge as he can, which is why he's having such a good experience.
And I think it's difficult for me to digest. I am a 4-year graduate. I have a 4-year degree, just so everybody knows out there. And I think that I have a grudge. So I think that's why I'm attacking the school thing. But I've also talked to Phil on the phone multiple times and had him tell me about how this one class was going. And he's spending numerous hours on this class, and he's paying for it. And the value, if I obviously you can always learn something in the time that you spend, but the value was basically a net loser, if I remember correctly.
Calculus. I hate that, dude. Oh man, I hated calculus.
I think that had some value though.
Oh, for sure, but like it was a very difficult class to just get through, with a lot of how impractical a lot of the problems that you are asked to solve are. Really, really difficult to want to sit down and try and learn and master a skill set, if you will, when you are pretty positive. Like, I've never needed to use any sort of calculus with Fountain Forward, really, at least in depth. So to really sit down and want to study and master a skill set that you know has a very low propensity to be used in the future, it's extremely unmotivating.
At the same time, you've also had classes that you've been very excited about, like your
business analytics
class, etc. So, and I don't want to just, like I said before, I don't want to come off as biased as I am. I want to touch a couple things, because there's other value in college than just the knowledge thing, right? There's a college culture play. There's the relationships that you get from college, and there is still a tremendous amount of value in college. What I'm challenging is the over structure of specific degrees and keeping you for 4 years, pushing you through classes that are supposed to somehow demonstrate a certain level of aptitude, by putting you through general, what do they call them again? Gen eds, general education, stuff like that. I believe we could fast track this process. I believe we could lower the cost, and I believe that everybody would win. I know that opens up kind of a can of worms, but I'm very motivated to get a person like Phil to get value faster and faster and faster. And I almost feel like I'm in a battle versus college right now with a lot of these college kids. And again, it sounds hypocritical from somebody that got a 4-year degree, but you know, I learned.
I would also say, especially in the first 2 years of college, while you're knocking out these gen eds, before you really get into a lot of your major specific courses, it's very difficult to find value with your specified career path early on in college. I think those first 2 years are real tough.
I think a good tip for those out there, it's pretty simple. And I've mentioned this before, possibly in other podcasts, but I definitely know I have on some of my content and stuff. Find somebody that you admire. Make sure you admire things that are aligned with your path, and offer them something of value. Offer them your time. Hey, Mr. Lawyer, Mr. Businessman, Mr. Businesswoman, whatever it is, how could I provide some value to you? Obviously, you could put some creative time thinking beforehand to think of some examples, but try to provide them some value and do it for free and do it for a while. And Phil, I think, were you paid right off the bat? I think you were. After a couple months in?
Mm-hmm.
Right, a couple months in, he was getting paid. And
I was also in high school.
So, you were smart. He was in high school, but he wanted to provide value. He figured out ways to provide value. And for those out there that like think it has to be super structured, I challenge you on that. Phil, what's the first thing you did with Fountain Forward?
Social media management and content curation. Uh-huh.
How'd that go?
Wasn't my cup of tea, but I wouldn't say it went poorly. I think it was a good experience. It was a great way to get involved with the company, and I would do it over again.
So for those of you out there that sit there and make a stupid fucking excuse about the fact that you don't know what you want to do or this or that, you put yourself in it, you just start doing something, and it took him, I mean, realistically, how long were you doing it before we pulled you off of it? In the general scheme of things, do you remember how long? I think I have a number in my head. Let's see.
Good. I would say a few months, but not in reality, not that long.
Right. I'd say 3 to 6, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe 9. Right. But by that point, we're asking you the questions like good business owners. Hey, what do you like? What don't you like? I still have needs. I have to have, you know, specific things crossed off the list for the clients and such, but like we're trying to put you in an environment where you can be nurtured and you can grow.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you out there that are in college and you don't know what you want to do, etc., why don't you just find somebody that you like being around, regardless of the industry, and just start doing it, and prove to yourself that that's a bad thing for you to do before you just oust it. You got something to say, Phil?
I was just gonna say, like, I think from the get-go we've just had a very good relationship, and we've mutually just kind of understood it. Really, at the start, I just wanted to learn, and y'all have been just very great mentors, and still to this day, really we're just trying to learn, and I'm still being mentored day in and day out. And I think that that has made for a very good relationship.
And it's not that hard, guys. Here's what happened. When was our meeting to talk about long-term goals? Is that yesterday?
Yep.
So I know Phil's I'm pretty well. I'm not going to pretend like I know them, you know, through and through, but I pretty well know Phil's weaknesses. I know his strengths, so I try to make up for his weaknesses when I can, as long as they're not, you know, too much weight on my end, which they're not. So I set a meeting with Phil. Hey, let's talk about your long-term goals, this and that. Phil comes in. He goes, I'm not 100% sure on 12 months from now. I don't really know this. I don't really know that. Here's what I know. I like solving these problems. I want to work on this, etc. There was no perfect plan. There was no perfect structure to the meeting, etc. We just communicated. We tried to figure out what was working, what was not working, and we went to the next piece. Stop looking for perfection. It is an extremely blatant way for you to play it. It's a cloak for you to I see insecurity, and I see a lack of wanting to really just go and work. When I see people say, well, you know, it's just not perfect for me, and I'm waiting for this right opportunity or whatever it is, when I see that, I'm trying to think of the choice of words right now, but I get this, it makes my skin crawl, because I think I can look at somebody and I hear them say that, and I just see weakness all over, because what are you doing in the meantime, fucker? Like, what are you doing in the meantime? Like, at least if you were ripping it, right? And you just keep ripping it, just keep trying new stuff. At least you're like knocking off things on the list that you know you suck at or that you hate. Like, go ahead, Chris.
What if that opportunity that you're waiting for never comes? I mean, what are you going to do?
You mean the one that isn't realistic most of the time?
Exactly.
If you're out there and you're trying, just go do something, right? And if you just find the right person to do it with, it all will figure itself out, guys. I'm telling you, just keep ripping it. Like, just rip it. I just don't understand. So just remember the fact that if you're waiting for something perfect and you're in college or you don't know yet or whatever it is, if you don't go and, like, if you don't have... I'm going to use students at UW Stout real quick. It's where I went to school up in Wisconsin, okay? All you UW Stout students that end up hearing this in 3 years when people start listening to this, shout out people that are listening. When that happens, I want you to think about the fact that I was sitting there in school and everybody was getting jobs at the Quick Trip in town or the bar or this or that, and I have nothing against that. You know what I wanted to do? I started playing online poker. Because my buddy was a really, really good player, making a shitload of money doing it. And sure enough, I started making money. And then I made more money. And then I made more money. And you know what I started doing? I started flipping things. I started doing some other hustles. And the whole time, I knew nothing of what I was doing. I was just trying shit. And I didn't actually, like, listen, entrepreneurship wasn't what it is today in 2006, right? So I was just doing things to do it.
Are you suggesting that college kids should be gambling? Is that what you're saying?
Sports betting.
Legal sports. Listen, college kids, do whatever you want, but I am going to answer that. College kids, you should gamble a shitload in college, but when I use the word gamble, yeah, you knew where I was going with that. Sure. When I use the word gamble, I mean do the higher risk things while you're young and realize the fact that no one gives a shit. You're going to be worried about other people's opinions. Don't worry about it, because if you're 18 and you spend 2 years busting ass on it, you'll be 20 when you get done. You could do 5 more of those 2-year bouts and you'll be 30. And you could mess up all of those and you're still 30. So yes, they should gamble. They should become degenerate gamblers.
Bet the house on the over. Bet the house on the over.
I've taught Phil to gamble. It's not a good thing. Guys, I can't say any statistics anymore without Phil just hammering unders or overs at all times. The best part is he comes in usually with a dollar bet. So he's still got the college mentality there.
No doubt.
Much easier when some of our clients come in with the stacks. It gets a little scary. So anyway, going back to it. I want to make sure that if there's something in college and you're in college and it's outside of your degree and you want to test it, so go to the local grocery store, find the general manager and be like, hey, I want to learn about supply chain management and how everything comes in here and stuff like that. And I'd be willing to give you my time if you just opened up your books to me or something like that. I dare you. Go do it. Go to every grocery store in town. Go to a convenience store. Just literally, and just keep asking, because here's the deal. If you tell me you can't do it, I'm going to walk and I'm going to start asking business owners, and I'll bet you I find one. It's going to take me probably 5 or 10. Maybe I'll get number one, but you just keep asking. So that's where this college thing becomes very interesting, because it's like you're put in this structured program to get this degree. And I don't know what the percentage of students that end up getting a job in their degree. I know the percentage is low. I'm one of them, right? And so that's where I really get, like, what is this value of college, especially from a social standpoint? Because Phil, talking about you and hanging out with your friends and stuff like that, like, that's one of the biggest things. Maybe I'm misspeaking here. Isn't that one of the bigger factors keeping you there?
For sure. I think the culture has a huge, huge impact. And I think more than anything, college, the time of college is just, it's a good medium to, for one, you can find yourself. You can devote yourself to whatever you want, really, for the first time in your life. And I think it's also, if you're not careful, it's an easy time for you to lose yourself too.
I think that's some of the most valuable aspects of college right there, is the socialization, learning how to be responsible or irresponsible, mm-hmm. which you learn both.
Mm-hmm.
I think that right there, that's definitely something that's important.
So then the first thing that goes to my head is obviously there's a camaraderie when you are a student at a certain school. And so I don't appreciate the fact that colleges over the last 20 years have manipulated with that, right? They know that, like, look at the marketing pieces.
That's what people want to go to college for.
That's exactly correct, right? And because the first argument I wanted to make was, well, why don't you just move to a college town, get that job there, etc., and then, do that thing, like I said, like work for somebody or whatever it is. And I mean, you're going to accrue way less debt doing that, but you're not really part of something, right? And how much does that get? Especially right now, where we are more nurtured than we ever have been, right? Like millennials as me, and like the Gen Zers and stuff like that. Like, we are more over nurtured than we ever have been, right? And we just want to be a part of something. And I think about that because, I mean, I went to homecoming last year at University of Wisconsin-Madison. I wanted to be a part of something. I had a blast with it, and I'm going to do it again this year. So that's where I, like, you know, you hear my bias and stuff, but then practicality comes knocking on my door and says, bro, you're there spending money. You went and bought red and white overalls last year and got buzzed up at the game and went and hung out with the boys. And like, but I did that for the culture of the guys, but I also did it to be a part of, like, the Badgers. Like, get it? Like, so this college thing is they are taking your emotions and they are charging you for them, and it works. Like, so let's be clear on this business thing and my real thoughts, right? I hate it because I think kids can get more value, but I totally get why kids are staying there.
But I think it's also, I mean, and tell me, you know, if you disagree, but the idea that you should feel obligated without question to go to college or out of high school, when maybe that's not the right thing for you.
That question that we talked about, hey, where are you going to college? It almost feels condescending when somebody asks it to somebody that I'm not, I'm going to the trades or whatever it is. And that's why we have an issue with a shortage in the trades, the IBEW, et cetera.
Like, those guys make bank.
Yes, they do. They do just fine. And I think that is another piece of the stigma, which is, well, where are you going to college? Oh, I'm not. Oh, you're one of them. But I think back to 2006, like when I was only got into one college, and I'm sitting there and coming up to January, February, March, my senior year, be like, where are you going to school? I'm like, I'm not. I remember that feeling. And like, yeah, I any thoughts on that, Philly Phil?
Well, I was just going to say that really it's, you're assuming, because of where society's at today, you are assuming that the person is going to be attending school somewhere. And I know one of my best friends went to school. Shout out Chase Miller.
Shout out Chase.
Went to school, really just figured out it wasn't for him. Decided to join the union, and that's what makes him happy. It did take him a year and a half to find out, but like, the important thing is, you know, this could go back to not going to college. He tested the waters, figured out it wasn't for him, and lived and learned. Now he's on to what he wants to do.
And that's great.
He didn't rack up $200,000 in debt.
He didn't. He did not. No, he didn't. I think that Chase is a great example for sure. Shout out Chase. I'm trying to remember my train of thought about the. Oh yeah. So when you're in high school and stuff like that, let's just think about this simple stigma that adds another layer to this. Are you going to college or where are you going to college? The implications of, oh, you're not going to college, and you're obviously not trying to better yourself. that's real. Like, yeah. That's what it sounds like. Like, you're dumb. Yeah. You're dumb. You're stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, you can, all the listeners out there, you can say you're not thinking it. You are. You absolutely are. So wrapping this up, it'll be a continued discussion between Phil and I for sure. I think that I've said this to Phil before, like, I do encourage him getting a degree, but I would also support him if he chose not to, because I know without unequivocal doubt that if he does not, if he chooses in 6 months, okay, hey, I'm done, I know he will be just as successful with that degree or without that degree. I am 100% sure, because at a bare minimum, I can put him under my wing. I know that as a bare minimum, right? Now, he may not choose that route, totally fine. But at a bare minimum, I know that whatever is coming, because you have to think about it like this, those last 24 months of school, I can go look at that curriculum online. I can go figure out those classes. Which one of these skill sets do you most want to learn, Phil? These and these and these and these. Okay, interesting. You want to be heavy on accounting? Sweet. First person I think of, Adam Barr. Second person, Michael Camp. Like, which one you want to be more focused on? Oh, numbers basis? You want to go on, like, you want to go private equity side? Do you want to go creative? I can think of anything that I can't get to him. I know the person, right?
Well, I think you can't even say this stuff without mentioning Steve Jobs, because if you recall, he dropped out of school out of Stanford, but then chose to drop into the classes that he wanted to for free and just sit there and listen. So he liked calligraphy, which is why we got the fonts that we have on the Macintosh. I mean, so he dropped into all the classes that interested him, and look what he did with it.
Right.
There is a value to picking and choosing here, guys. There's nothing wrong with picking and choosing and focusing. And the whole, this really gets me, focusing too early or choosing your path too early, fuck you. I hate that. Because at least you'll know that it's wrong. Chase Miller, great example. Mm-hmm. 18 months, I'm done. Cool. Way cheaper than 4 years. Mm-hmm. Good job. Like, that's so anywho. So, Phil, any last? Oh, yeah. Yep. He's got to rip it. He's about to feel a rant coming.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, really, at the end of the day, a degree ultimately is just a piece of paper. I think when it comes down to your success or your lack of success, that's not dependent upon a degree or no degree. I think really what it comes down to is your mindset, your personality, and how you're willing to grow and battle with losses and wins. I think at the end of the day, it's a mindset play. It's not a degree play.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot to close. I don't know how you could really top that.
Nothing here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, I want to thank everybody for listening again this week to the 452 podcast. Make sure that you download, give us a good review if you think we provide value. We're on all the major platforms. And make sure you tune in next week, and we'll see you next time. Thanks a lot.